most homes in America this morning or this week will have decorations up. They'll have Christmas trees. They'll have the lights up, various decorations, presents under the tree. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what I'd like to equate that to this morning is taking a flat rock on a still piece of water and skipping that rock. Everybody knows what that looks like. Just ching, 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 ching. And I think for most folks, they don't go beyond just skipping that on the surface of the trees, the lights, the gifts, the food, etc., etc. So what I want to do this morning is once that rock stops, it goes down. And what I want to do this morning is go down a little bit deeper. And unlike the pastor, I didn't Google this passage because I knew right offhand we weren't going to find it. So take your Bibles if you have them and turn to Romans chapter 5. The title, if there's a title to this morning, is called The Gift. That's not original. But I want to add a parenthesis of an S behind that for gifts to that. Chapter 5 of Romans, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, okay, why is it therefore? Okay, we need to back up. So let's go up to chapter 4. Let's start in about verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed for him, but for you and me, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe. That two little letter word there, if. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You realize that the birth of Christ was a death mission. That sounds kind of morbid on a Christmas week. That's the reality. The very second that Christ was conceived in Mary's womb, he was on a death mission. And aren't you grateful for that? Amen. This morning? It doesn't end in death. Not by any means. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I found about 6 gifts here just in these 2 verses. And what I want to do is just give you the basic definition of these gifts, because we don't have much time this morning. Each one of these gifts would require a sermon or two on their own. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you the definitions. And you can take it from there. So the first one here, justification. And the definition of justification is one who legally stands in the presence of God guiltless, uncondemned, and righteous in a righteousness which God accepts through the Lord Jesus. God's wrath towards us, which would ultimately consign us to eternal hell, is removed. Mm. I have a little analogy here. I'm not sure it'll probably break down, but you'll probably get the drift. You and I have a perfect defense attorney. He's never lost a case. He never will lose a case. And right now, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Basically, the war is over. The enmity between God and the sinner is done because of Jesus Christ's death, justifying the sinner. And praise God for that. The second one, in verse 1, is faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Some would say, well, what is the gift? Is it faith? Is it grace? Most, without getting into a lot of Greek nouns and genders, etc., grace and faith are feminine, and that, or this gift, this is a neuter, which, so it doesn't relate to either grace or faith. The essence of that gift is the whole gift of salvation. So grace and faith are included in that gift. And faith is a trust, it's a firm persuasion, confiding belief in the truth. And we find that truth back in verse 24 of chapter 4 and 25. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If we believe in that truth, and this must be a personal truth. A lot of people today gathered around the Christmas tree in their homes are going to believe in God. A high percentage of Americans believe in God. But I fear that's about as far as it goes. I fear that that belief in God is not a saving belief. So this faith must be personal to each one of us. True saving faith involves a firm conviction of that truth, not just an intellectual acknowledgement of the truth. Yeah, I believe in God. It must be a firm conviction of that truth. And it must be a surrender to that truth. And thirdly, our conduct must emanate from that surrender. Let that sink in. The third gift is peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace here in this verse is a peace arising from reconciliation with God and a sense of divine favor. It's to bind together that which has been separated. And that was you and I before. A condition between two who are once alienated. This truth is based on objective, not on subjective position. The objective is, this is a truth. This is a fact. Subjective would be, I feel. Philippians 4:7. This is not the peace of God. I feel the peace of God around me, surrounding me. But this is not that peace. This is peace with God because you were his enemy. You were battling him, whether you knew it or not, because of your sinful condition. Justified sinner has peace facing God. We're no longer God's enemy. The word have, just before peace, is in the perfect tense. And that means that you permanently have it. You permanently have this sense that the war is over, that you're not battling anymore. Fourth, find in verse 2, by whom also we have access. And the definition of access is to bring near, a bringing to, and it's always related to God. It pictures fellowship and communion. The Old Testament Jews really didn't know what access to God was. Once a year, the high priest could go into the Holy Holies, and that was about it. The average Jew had really no access to God the Father. Whenever we see them getting close to God, there's a lot of fear and a lot of trembling. But now, since the birth and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that veil to the Holy of Holies was rent in two. I've always thought I would have loved to have been there and watched that veil. That veil that was probably about this thick, rent in two. To think, okay, what does this mean to the average Jew who could have seen that or did see that or saw it afterwards? What did that mean? There had to have been quite a bit of thinking going on, because that just didn't happen because there was an earthquake. But since that's been rent into, every one of us who believe can go into that Holy of Holies now. Amen. And the word have, before access, again, is in the perfect tense. And that means you and I have that permanently. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that access permanently. You don't have it one day, not the next day. In God's eyes, you have it permanently. The fifth one, find in verse 2. Well, we have faith again, but we'll skip that since we did it. But this grace, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would you stand? And simply, grace is unmerited favor of God, which he shows to us sinners in saving us from our sin. You and I could have done, could do, will never be able to do anything to save us from our sins. It's 100% from God. It is that gift, purely and wholly from God. And that word stand in verse 5, this grace wherein we stand, we're standing in this grace, that's also in the perfect tense, which means you permanently stand in that grace. The sixth gift is probably my favorite, although they're all good. They're all good. Is the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
And that is an absolute confident expectation of good, especially of those who experience the hope, the anticipation, the expectation, the confidence of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life. Being in God's presence forever with all His majesty. And I think for me personally, this takes on a little bit different flavor than most of you. When there's a void taken from your life, something precious, there's a void. And so something must fill that void. And I'm very grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ fills that void. So perhaps, for me personally, I'm longing for this hope a little bit more than maybe you are. Because part of mine is where I want to be. And I'm, again, very grateful that God just doesn't leave somebody just hanging there, grasping for something to fill that void, for even my children who miss their mother. That the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of His attributes, loves us so much that He'll come alongside. And I'm grateful for that this morning. But we're to rejoice in this hope. Rejoice. Are you a rejoicing Christian this morning? We would all say, well, sure I am. No one would ever admit, no, I don't really like to rejoice, son. But do a truthful inventory. Are you a rejoiceful Christian? Do others around you immediately detect something different about you? And rejoicing can do that. Particularly in the midst of a struggle, a trial, a deep pain. The world doesn't know how to react to that. So are you rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God this morning? If you're not a believer, as verse 24 of chapter 4 says in the middle part, if we believe, if... We like to skip over that little word sometimes, but that's big. It's huge. If you sitting here today are not a believer, then Christmas is truly only the lights, the tree, the gifts, the food, the fellowship. That's all you get. And that's very temporary. After the gifts are opened, a couple weeks later, most of them moved on. It's old news. Maybe even in the trash. The batteries wore out and the toy gets put up on the shelf. Very temporary. Take care of that today if you're not a believer.
That's right.
Take care of that today so that you can truly enjoy the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you forever. If you are a believer, then take time this Christmas season. I'm not saying forego the tree, the gifts, etc., etc. I'm not saying that. But in the midst of that, take time to be grateful and to praise the Lord for the gift and the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ means to you as a believer.